Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 1 to 5, and then we'll move on to verse 25 to 29. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. And he shone forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000s of saints from his right hand. Came a fiery law for them. Yes, he loves the people. All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your words. Moses commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Jacob, and he was king in Jeshurun when the leaders of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. And then 6 to 24 are all the blessings and the hope that he had for all these 12 tribes of Israel. And I'll just select one for the sake of of the blessings of the tribe of Israel. I'll select one, which is Asher, on verse 24. And of Asher he said, Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze, and as your days, so shall your strength be. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you, and you will say, destroy. Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also drop a dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread upon their high places. Heavenly Father, open now our eyes, our spiritual understanding, that we might behold the wondrous truths out of thy law. And grant us the grace to be able to apply these truths with immediate effect tonight and the rest of the week. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but whether I don't know whether any of you feel as I do at times when we meditate upon the Word of God, and as the disciples did on the Sea of Galilee, when Christ was asleep on a pillow at the back of the boat. The wind blew hard and the waves were so stormy and rough, and they feared that they would perish in the storm. They could see the destruction in the circumstances that surrounded them. As we look upon our circumstances and view the future as they did when they are facing that rough, stormy weather, we fear we shall never be able to surmount our difficulties which trouble us and that which lie ahead of us, and many more, and think that the end is imminent. We see many things that which we think will go wrong, and yet when we consider the words of this text, this is verse 26 and 27 of our chapter 33 of Deuteronomy, what a difference we find. What grounds for hope, not only for the people of Israel who departed from God, turned their back against Him when they got prosperous, and that when that word, their foot fell in the oil, that means prosperity. We have some grounds of hope when we face such uncomfortable future and present, as many are perhaps are also grappling what the way forward about the Brexit economically and of course spiritually as well, because the laws of the land can be overruled by the law in Brussels. What grounds of hope do we have? What comfort and consolation is contained in these words for the poor and needy, such as us? And not only the people of Israel at this point in time in history when these texts were written. The feeble and faint-hearted of the Lord's family are also affected. Might the Lord speak, as He does in other places. Strengthen ye weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, and fear not. Isaiah 35, 3-4 echoes that hope. The exhortation of our text turns away our eyes from the weak, insufficient self was self downhearted, and from the difficulties and dangers found along our pilgrimage. Moses, as he was speaking these last words to the children of Israel, knew what would face the people. They would have to cross the Jordan before them. There were many mighty nations that were in Canaan, and there were also many giants in the land, which caused the ten spies to remain silent because they feared the giants, and two only reported positively about the land of Canaan. The difficulties appeared insurmountable. But notice where Moses directed the eyes of the people. Through the Lord's merciful dealings with our souls, may our eyes be always directed to the place to which Moses directed Israel. The place of which the psalmist speaks in Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. While our eyes, under the gracious Holy Spirit's teaching, are directed to and kept fixed upon the one blessed, precious object that Moses sets before us in this text, what strength and comfort and consolation is imparted to the soul. It will be better for us what this text want to show before us through Moses. It would do us good to read verse 26 and 27 at this point. There is no God like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in His excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Once our eyes are moved from this object of God's providential provision for our needs, we begin to consider what we are and the difficulties that lie before us. Then we, as Peter did when he walked on the water towards the Lord, then eyeing the tempest, then began to sink and cried out from his heart, Lord, save me. Moses directed the eyes of the people to the Lord himself. I trust that our heart may be likewise directed in the midst of all things which we are passing through, even the various issues that face us as a church. First, the one that God allowed, vindicated us. We're about to face the end, perhaps. But the unending issues that face us as a church is not something new. The New Testament churches which Paul planted faces the same different issues. So we are not immune from these issues. So in comforting ourselves, let us dwell on the comfort of Moses trying to manifest and try to inject in the minds of God's people. Like verse 26, there is none like unto the Lord or unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. Our eyes are directed to the triune God, whose arm is lifted up in the defense of his people. God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think. God, who has proved his faithfulness and goodness towards them in every step of their journey. God, in whose hands they are held and who will never let them go, never leave them to finally fall and perish. Thus, Moses speaks early in the chapter, yea, he loved the people. Holy saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy word. They are all in his hands. Thus also the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 27 to 30. Therefore, our eyes are directed by our text to the triune God. It says there is no one like the God of Jeshurun. There is none like unto him. None can equal God in anything. He is supreme in all his blessed, glorious attributes, which are enumerated in the same prefixes. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere, omniscient, he knows everything, and he's omnipotent, he's powerful. None can compare with him in his faithfulness, in power, in love and mercy to his people, in his righteous and justice. in his being righteous and doing justice. None can be compared with God. The Lord God is one, declared his word. In the earlier chapter of Deuteronomy, I believe that's chapter 6. Do we through divine grace worship this true God, this one, triune God, who appeared himself and revealed himself to us as our dear Heavenly Father, his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit? There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. This name Jeshurun is only found four times in the scriptures. It is given to Israel, and its meaning has been explained in two ways. First, Jeshurun means righteous people or straight people. In other words, they live righteous and holy lives. There is none like unto the God of this righteous or upright people. Israel should have been righteous and upright. What had God not done for them? He likened Israel in one place to a vineyard which he planted with the choicest vines, but out of which grew wild grapes. And he says, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done to it? This perverseness brought the judgment of God many times upon these people. They should have been righteous and had no excuse for being otherwise. God says he could have done no more than he had done. Of course, there were some even in Israel who were righteous and upright. And there were times when they merited this name of God, or which God, which their God applied to them. But quickly, when they became prosperous, they became fat and obese, they forsake their God. That is in 32 of Deuteronomy, chapter verse 15, if you want to check that later. They quickly fell and forsaking the righteousness of their God. Because they forsook the Lord, their God, they were forsaken by God. This truth is still much verified in God's dealings with his people, even today. You and I are sinners. As soon as we are born into this world, we need refuge, deliverance, and safety from the just wrath of an eternal God, which we have incurred by our own sin and transgressions. We should always bear in mind that a man's condemnation is because of his own sin, because he is guilty of breaking God's holy law. We can never lay the blame at God's door. When we pray, it lies at our door, at your door, and at my door, at the door of my heart. As sinners, therefore, under solemn condemnation through the breaking of the law of God, we need a refuge, a deliverance, and salvation from the just outpourings of God's wrath. The Lord Jesus confirmed this truth when in the days of his flesh, he said this, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Nothing is impossible for our God. The scripture speaks of one thing that God cannot do. He cannot deny himself. He cannot stop himself from loving his chosen people. Otherwise, he is not the God that he revealed himself to Moses and to what he says in his word. So he cannot deny himself. He is able to help his people in every time of need. There are no circumstances from which God is unable to deliver them. He rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. That is verse 26 of our chapter 33. In the gospel, we have the person and work of Jesus Christ. God manifests himself in the flesh, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and set forth as the refuge of a poor sinner like us. Christ, in his own person, endured the wrath of God against our sin. He paid the price due to divine justice. As the hymn writer penned, "Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from the riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power." The psalmist say, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me or will not hear my prayer." If we indulge in sin, can we expect the Lord's blessings to be with us? We can answer individually, seriously, that question. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 9 says, "He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness." And when we are cleansed of our sin, then we can say with the God of Jeshurun, the eternal God in verse 27, "is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy before you, and will stay, and will say, destroy." May this be our portion tonight, if we are experiencing bleak future or uncertainty at the moment. And at one point or the other, every body of Christ faces uncertainty if we play games with God in the form of sin. We are making our own self the trouble and not God. God cannot deny himself. He still wants to bless us. But if we play games with constant sin and perhaps lack of belief and doubt about the future, even though we pray continually, what is ahead of me? Is there a future ahead of me? Well, there is only one thing sure. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and unrighteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's the word of God for us. There is a fixed future. If we remain faithful and remain holy and obedient to be holy in the sight of God. May this be our constant desire and our prayer and our walk with God. No matter how we fail, God is able to redirect our lives, starting tonight. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.